the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Well, it is a Tuesday. Welcome to it, everyone. You know, on Tuesdays, I'm used to hanging out with our pal Gotta Laugh. We've been hanging out on Tuesdays for I don't know how many years now. But Laffy's out again today. She's got something weird going on with her hands, and she's just in a lot of pain. And I even told her, you know, I messaged her last night. I said, you don't have to bring tweets. You don't have to work. You can just be there, and, you know, we'll shoot the shit as we always do. And she's like, you don't understand. Everything hurts. And so she's got to get past this. So she can't even, like, holding the phone hurts. Typing on the keyboard hurts. It's something going on with her hands. And, you know, I feel for her. I wish I had a remedy. I told her one thing that, you know, I've got neck and back issues. And we use cannabis cream. Not CBD cream, but cannabis. It's THC infused. It doesn't get you high, although you would think if you're putting it on your skin, you'd absorb it. But it does help with the pain. But I don't know. She's tried everything. And so let's just send healing thoughts to Laffy, and hopefully she'll be back soon because we miss her. And so today, who did I invite on in her place? Well, I thought we'd invite Driftglass back. So for those of you who don't know, Driftglass is one of the OG progressive bloggers. He was, you know, back in the days, the early days of blogging, he and Digby and, you know, a handful of others were the original gangsta bloggers. And so Driftglass is still doing it at driftglass.blogspot.com. And he's also married to Blue Gal Fran, and together they do the Professional Left podcast. So Driftglass, back in the day, years ago, he was one of my regular, I think Driftglass was on with me every other week, every other Thursday. So anyway, he'll be here today to opine about what's going on. Now, Driftglass also can fill us in on why he's no longer on Twitter. Yes, it appears that Driftglass has been... oh, shoot. Hold on. I need to get my my suspenseful music. Here. Driftglass has been suspended from Twitter. Ooh. So we'll find out why. If you go to his, and he never even could use the name Driftglass on Twitter because someone else did. So he was just, what was he? Mr. Electrico. So anyway, we'll find out about all that when he joins us. But we're going to start on a different note today. So, you know, I've been painting, right? I know I talk about it a lot, but it's what I'm doing in my spare pandemic time. And, oh, why is Driftglass calling now? Driftglass, you're not supposed to be on until a little later. You're early.
This is my mistake. I swapped computers. I'm trying to set Skype up on this.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, so you go play, and I'll be back with you in about a half hour or so.
See you in 30.
Okay, bye. Thanks. Bye. Ooh, and I just saw Driftglass. Now, you know, he's always anonymous. And I met him once at Netroots Nation. But I haven't seen him in years, but I got to see him. I'm not going to pick that up because he's playing there. All right. Oh, I will accept. I will accept. All right. So anyway, back to what I was saying. So I've been painting, right? Doing the painting thing. And, you know, I come up with, you know, some things, obviously I paint because you guys have commissioned me to paint your pets or whatever, which I love doing. And I'm wide open. You have a pet you want me to paint? Bring it on. We'll do that. But I also, you know, I've been painting other things. Like the other day I painted this beautiful little sea turtle, because this is what we have here in Florida. You know, the sea turtles hatch, the hatchlings. They make nests on the beach. There are always protected areas on the beach where they're roped off because there are sea turtle eggs hatching under the sand. And when they hatch, the little hatchlings make their way toward the ocean. They follow the light. So that's why you'll see if you're watching a video stream, they go towards the moonlight over the ocean. That's why in South Florida, during hatchling season, you have to turn off your lights around the beach because they distract the little sea turtles who go in the opposite direction when they need to go toward the water. So I did those. You know, when I'm just painting for myself, I try to find things to paint. Well, a while back, I had seen a picture, was sort of like M.C. Escher-like, of a fence. And the fence was fenced in, I don't know what it was fenced in, but the fence then sort of broke away into birds flying off. And so I painted this picture that had been in my mind for a while now. Not my original idea, I wish it was, but I don't know who to give credit to because I don't know where I originally saw it. So I did this. And then I've had this other idea in my mind ever since the violence in Washington, D.C. Made them put up a big fence around the Capitol to protect, you know, the inauguration after the Capitol was breached on January 6th, after the insurgents, you know, tried to overthrow the government, because for lack of a better term, that's what they did. And then I heard that they were talking about making this fence permanent. So over the weekend, I painted this picture of the Capitol and put up a fence, a similar kind of thing with the birds flying away. I just finished it last night. It's not perfect. I thought I needed to make the fence, the links smaller, because the fence was further away from the building. And then I realized that, no, actually the links could have been large, because the links are the perspective for where you're standing in relation to the fence. I'm new at this stuff, you know, and I don't think this is as good as the other one, but you get the idea. I wasn't sure what to call it, but somebody suggested defense of democracy, and I kind of like that one. So anyway, I finished this one last night. I was thinking, cool idea. I didn't nail the concept, but it's good. It's okay. It's the cover shot for today's show. So those of you who are just listening to a podcast, when you download the podcast, the image that comes with it is the painting I'm talking about. So it is the Capitol building behind a chain link fence, which the top is sort of the links break off, become birds and fly away. So, right? So I wake up this morning to, you know, I go online and I'm reading around, and I see Ryan Grimm of The Intercept has tweeted an article from, where is this article from? It's from a place called firstbranchforecast.com, not a place I usually go to, right? But the headline of the article that he tweeted out was, "An open Congress cannot be fenced off." And I thought, okay, that's what I just painted. Not in the, you know, using pictures and not words, but that was my painting, right? So let me read to you this article dated yesterday, February 15th, 2021. Headline, "An open Congress cannot be fenced off." On January 6th, insurrectionists successfully breached security and stormed the U.S. Capitol, with lawmakers, employees, essential workers, and journalists inside. In the aftermath of this attack, Congress began evaluating what needs to be done to ensure this type of attack never happens again. While it's clear security at the Capitol must be reformed, solutions must not come at the expense of open government. The Capitol must remain open to the public. Acting U.S. Capitol Police Chief Yogananda Pittman released a statement recommending the U.S. Capitol complex be fitted with permanent fencing. To enclose the Capitol campus with permanent fencing would be a grave error. While there may be times when temporary fencing is necessary, to erect permanent barriers between Congress would be a blow to open democracy. The safety and security of our legislators and the people who make their work possible is paramount. However, it was not an absence of funding or fencing that allowed for the January 6th insurrection. Rather, the success of the attack was a result of mismanagement and poor communication by the entities tasked with keeping the Capitol safe. And maybe I'll add in here a little bit of sabotage on part of the administration at the time, which has not yet been fully investigated, which needs to be. So anyway, back to this this article. It says the Capitol stands as a symbol of fair and open democracy. Closing the Capitol to the public and militarizing Capitol Hill is a sign of weakness and contrary to our democratic ideals as a nation. And then it says, demand progress. Hold on, I got to find when I answered Drift Glass, I screwed up the contact information of the person I'm calling in a minute. Demand Progress, the Lincoln Network, and a coalition of organizations wrote to legislators this week to express our concern and strong opposition to the proposed permanent fencing surrounding the U.S. Capitol. The letter can be found here, and they post it, and they have a link to it. And so they sent this letter yesterday. It's addressed to Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy, who are the two leaders of the House of Representatives, and it's copied to every other congressional leader, you know, out there. And it's basically saying just what I read to you. Dear Speaker Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Schumer, House Republican Leader McCarthy, and Senate Republican Leader McConnell, we write in firm opposition to the proposed enclosure of the U.S. Capitol with permanent security fencing. The Capitol and surrounding buildings must remain open to all engaged in the business of our democracy. Congress should be the shining city on the hill, welcoming to all and a beacon to the world. For every complex problem, there is an answer that is clear, simple, and wrong. The insurrection of January 6, 2021, and the attendant failure to protect Congress were not caused by the absence of permanent security fencing. They were the result of failures by those responsible for managing security for the U.S. Capitol. That should be the focus of efforts to protect Congress and those who serve therein. So the letter is signed by a whole slew of organizations, from American Family Voices, Arab American Institute, Center for International Policy, Council on American-Islamic Relations, Courage California, Demand Progress, Due Process Institute, Engage Action. It goes on and on. Fight for the Future, FreedomWorks, GovTrack.us, Issue 1, Lincoln Network, Our Revolution. And what I'm noticing is there are, oh, an Amber Alert. Thank you. All right. Sorry, that's my phone, and you can't silence it. It's an Amber Alert, a kidnapped child in Hillsborough County, which is up near Tampa. Anyway, Public Citizen, you get the idea. So there's all kinds of signatories onto this letter. And the contact, they say, we appreciate your attention, would welcome the opportunity to discuss the matter further. And it gave a couple of people to contact, somebody at Demand Progress Education Fund and somebody else at Lincoln Network. And so I reached out via email to these people, and the person who is available to join us today, I think, is on the phone with us now. Arthur Reiser, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Well, I would say I'm living the dream, but it's freezing cold, and I'm in drear D.C.
Oh, boy. I'm so sorry. I don't even want to tell you that I'm in South Florida, and it's it's hot. We just got our air conditioning fixed. I shouldn't tell you this, but I know yesterday in Miami, it got up to 90-something degrees. I think today it's in the 80s. I'm sorry.
Oh, boo-hoo.
I know. But you know, hey, in my defense, it is Florida. And, you know, we are the home of Florida man. And so, yeah. So, you know, I'm surrounded by those people. So just so you know. Anyway, that's not what I called to tell you about. I'm sorry. It's cold there. It's cold everywhere. Did you see what it's like in Texas?
I was supposed to be going to Texas tomorrow. My flight got canceled. I was supposed to go to Austin for 3 days.
Oh, my God. Well, there's snow on the ground in Austin. I know people in Austin who are under 5 blankets and freezing and not leaving their homes because they can't go anywhere. So, yeah, crazy, crazy times. But the reason I'm calling you today is because of the letter that you and a number of organizations teamed up to write to send to congressional leaders saying, please don't fence us in. Don't fence in the Capitol permanently. What would it mean if the Capitol was fenced in permanently?
Well, every time the government does something, it's always more expensive and more intrusive than they say it's going to be. And I think this is unnecessary. But more importantly, I think you're going to be shutting off the people from the building that's supposed to represent the people. So I think there's a security aspect to it. You know, a lot of security is optics. I get that. But when you do something that's not really making more security, and I retired from the U.S. Army, so I know a little bit about security. I did a couple tours in Iraq. Mm-hmm. When you create something that looks like it's going to give you more security, but it really doesn't, it actually can cause more problems on the security level. And I also think optically, our city should look open and free.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I haven't been in D.C. that much, but I remember the last time I was there, it was probably 8 or 10 years ago. But I've got pictures still on my phone of that big, beautiful Capitol building that is wide open. And that's one of the beautiful things about it. You can walk right up to it. Right. And to see it surrounded by fences, just like when they fenced in the White House. I'm sorry. That was depressing. It just is the wrong signal. Now, one of the things that struck me about the letter was the variety of groups who signed on to it. Now, you're with a group called Lincoln Policy, or the Lincoln Network. The Lincoln Network. You're at the LincolnNetwork.org. And the little bit of research, and the other group that is the main signatory, I guess, on it, the organizer, was Demand Progress. Now, I'm familiar with Demand Progress because I'm an old school progressive. I mean, I'm a liberal's liberal. Your group is on the other side of the aisle, aren't you?
Yeah, I call us non-crazy conservatives. So we are a dying breed, but we're there. But, you know, this is the central theme to conservatism is this, and this is the way that I see the world, is that we have to believe first and foremost in a limited government. If you tell me that you are a conservative and you don't believe in a limited government, guess what, man?
You're not a conservative. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, building a wall that's unnecessary, it's going to cost more money than we need to be spending. And by the way, let's not remember that the fence that's up right now was put up in one day.
Right.
So don't tell me that you can't re-erect something if you need to. It's just preposterous that they think that this is the good policy solution. It's laziness.
I agree. And that's why I'm telling you, this has been on my mind. That's why I painted this picture of the Capitol with a fence. I took up painting during the pandemic just because I'm stuck at home. I'm old and I don't go out because I don't want to get sick. And I'm missing a lung because I'm a lung cancer survivor. So I stay home. So I took up painting in October and I've been obsessed with it. And so I've had this image in my mind of the Capitol fenced in. And so I made this painting over the weekend of the Capitol fenced in by a chain link fence. And at the top of the fence turns into birds that fly away. And then I woke this morning to the letter that you guys sent. And I thought, okay, we need to talk because there's something here. Obviously, it's a bad look for America, but we live in a time of bad luck. You said that the Lincoln Network. I have the wrong thing up on the Chiron. That's why it's wrong. Excuse me. People on the Chiron, it's LincolnNetwork.org. I can't imagine you were a fan of Donald Trump, or were you? I don't want to put thoughts in your mind, in your mouth.
I mean, I'm not going to speak for everybody in the organization. I support the president who is the president, but no, I do not think that Donald Trump was a conservative. Mm-hmm. And I think that he caused a lot of friction within the movement. I mean, I think if you look at policy by policy by policy, there are a lot of things there that a typical Republican would be in support of. But I care a lot about perspective and optics. And we get a lot of security from our neighbors and our allies. And when you don't have that because you've ostracized everybody in the room, you know, my drill sergeant, you know, not to be crude, used to say there's always a turd in the punch bowl. And I feel like that kind of represents, you know, a lot of what we've been going through the last 4 years.
Right. So then let me ask you this, and I apologize for being nosy, but I don't often get to talk to Republicans on this show because, frankly, most of them are of the crazy side. There are not a whole lot of sensible Republicans left, and those who are seem to be leaving the party. Your thoughts on the impeachment and the fact that the party now is behind Donald Trump and they want him to be the leader of the Republican Party going forward, does that make sense to you?
No, I think that it shows a lot of laziness and cowardice. I think that the leader of the of the Republican Party is supposed to be at this point, whoever the highest ranking individual is. That would be, you know, the minority leader in the House. So it seems to me that we have kind of lost our way. I mean, but listen, the Lincoln Network is you know, named after Lincoln, who was the first Republican president, who came about in a very weird way. I wrote a book about Lincoln. He shouldn't have been president, but he was. And I also believe that this country has a very long history of dipping our toes into crazy and coming back from it. I hope that's the case now.
Do you think that the Republican Party can? So you say by your standards, what you and they're not your standards, the highest ranking Republican would be the minority leader in the House. That would be Kevin McCarthy, who on the night of the insurrection on January 6th, spoke the truth on the floor of the House, when they were voting to certify the Electoral College votes to finish the work they started that was interrupted. But then just a couple of days later, he flew down to Palm Beach to kiss Donald Trump's ring or something else that I would normally say, but I won't because I don't know you that well. Really? That's the guy? And then you have Lindsey Graham, who, again, the night of January 6th, kind of drunk. You could tell he had a few too many. I can understand why. You know, they had the lives scared out of them pretty much. They could have been killed easily, all of them. And he said, that's it, I'm done. I was with Trump, but I can't anymore. I can't anymore. And now apparently he can anymore. Yeah. These are the people in charge of your party.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. So,
well, I'm technically not a Republican. I'm a conservative, more of a libertarian bit. But I understand the frustration here. I think that there is a lot to be frustrated about. And I can understand why many people are, you know, not walking away from the Republican Party, but they're running away from the Republican Party because there doesn't seem to be a lot of intellectual honesty. However, I do think this is also a unique opportunity to reframe and rebuild. And, you know, listen, we've only had a new administration for, you know,
a month. Right.
Yeah. So I think there's an opportunity to maybe come back to the table. And if they do, you know, who's going to be the first person in line? Me. But I, at this point, I care way more about my country with my son serving in the infantry and my wife serving in the Army.
Oh, wow.
I'm a retired Army officer. I have no interest in, you know, listen, we were the very first country in the world when we took oath of offices. We took an oath of office to an idea. We were first at that. And the idea that we have kind of lost our way and we're starting to do this weird, you know, kiss the ring of these different leaders after they're out of office is absurd, and it's very un-American.
That it is. And Ben Sasse said it. He's like, this is not about, you know, kissing the ring of one person, of idolizing one person. This is not what we're about. And for that, he and the others who voted in favor of democracy, I believe, have been censured by the party. I mean, do you think the Republican Party as it is can survive, Arthur Reiser? And would you be in favor of this phone call that I heard where over 100 and some odd former Republican staffers from White House staffs to on down are talking about an offshoot of the Republican Party, sensible Republicans, like you said?
Well, that's how the Republican Party was built. It was a breakaway from crazy Democrats and the Whig Party, and it broke apart, and the Republican Party, you know, came to life. It really was started by, you know, abolitionists and people who cared more about the future of the country than the future of a few tiny offshoot of policy issues like slavery and pretty horrible things. And so I absolutely would support something like that. I have no loyalty to a party. My loyalty is to, you know, the well-being of the United States of America. I fought for this country. You know, I got a Purple Heart in Iraq for this country. I think I have a lot. I think this country still has enormous potential. But we have to be brave and have to stand up for what's right and instead of what's politically expedient. And that is something that I've seen way too often over the last 4 years.
Right. It's none of my business. And we have a secret ballot in this country for a reason. So you can tell me it's none of my business if you don't want to answer. But who did you vote for in November?
I voted for my wife on the first election, even though she was constitutionally ineligible. Mm-hmm. And I think I voted for the Libertarian, wow. or I wrote someone else again. I did not vote for gotcha. Any of the major parties either time.
I understand. I'm asking, well, because I was curious, number one. But number two, did you see the story about Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who has been very outspoken against Trump?
Right.
But who yeah. admitted, I saw him on Bill Maher Friday night, he admitted in 2016 he didn't vote for Trump. In 2020 he did, which just blows my mind. But because of his statement, his family wrote him this scathing letter. 11 members of his yeah. family basically disowned him. Calling out because Trump's a Christian and you're not being very Christian? What is that yeah. about? That's yeah. not American, is it?
Well, they said that he was possessed by the devil or something, yeah. right? It was something absurd. I mean, I don't know. There's so much lunacy involved in all of this. And I hate dogma. I hate when people become dogmatic over intellectual honesty. And I find that's always been a problem in this country. But we have usually kept those people kind of at bay and in the basements.
Yeah.
Both parties have this problem. But we have been taken over by it. You yes. guys still do a pretty good job of keeping them in the basement. And I don't know really what the solution is, except that we have to, just come together. And I do believe that there is an opportunity for unity and for a new kind of birth of maybe the Republican Party or maybe something totally different.
Right. Maybe. Well, the first step is making sure they don't, wall off the Capitol, because that's a step right. in the wrong direction. And as you noted, that fence went up in one day. They can put them up temporarily when necessary. But to have the Capitol right. fenced in like that is an affront to democracy, I believe. Have you heard anything back? I know the letter just went out yesterday.
Not anything huge. I've had a couple of reporters reach out to me. I've been asked to write an op-ed on the topic, but beyond that, not much.
But nothing back from the Hill?
I haven't heard personally.
Gotcha. Arthur Reiser, it's so nice to talk to you. It's really nice to be able to talk to somebody on the other side of the political aisle without it getting ugly, nasty, without name-calling, without lies. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I really thank you for your time today. And I thank you for standing up for an open Washington, D.C., because I think it's necessary.
Thank you.
All right. You take care. Thanks so much for joining us and being a really good sport.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So there you go. Hey, it's not often we have a Republican on the show, so I had to ask the questions. Anyway, they're talking about making it permanent. I don't think that'll fly. I certainly hope not. But it gave me a good painting idea. Speaking of painting ideas, just a quick plug again in case you missed it yesterday. I did a Bernie meme painting, because it was everywhere. And again, this weekend, to get away from the impeachment, I was just flying. I did a lot of painting this weekend. And I painted Bernie. And I posted it. And I was amazed at the response. Because frankly, I don't think it's that great. It's okay. But people were asking, can they buy it? So I put up two auctions. One is an auction for this very painting. The other one is a custom Bernie. So you, if you are the winning bidder, can choose the canvas size from little to, I don't know, 11 by 14, maybe even, I think I've got a 16 by 20 canvas in here. So you choose the size, you choose the background, because that's the thing about the Bernie meme, is that Bernie was placed everywhere. So you can put him, anywhere you want within reason, because I'm still new at the painting stuff. So it's got to be something I can pull off. You can even change the color of his clothes. And if you want to put a message on his mask, like someone emailed me and said, can I put fuck Trump on his mask? I said, you can do whatever you want. So the auctions are live. They went live yesterday at 11 a.m. Eastern. And they're up for a week. So, I've tweeted them out. It's on my Facebook page. I'll put it on, the blog page with today's show, or just go to eBay and search for Bernie meme custom painting. I think it'll come up. My eBay screen name is Nicole 1031, because when I first got on eBay, when eBay started, I worked at a radio station in Los Angeles that was Channel 1031. So it stuck. All right. So that's all that. I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick time out because we can and we can take care of some business. So we'll be right back on the Progressive Voices Network. And while they're in spots, we'll have some fun. I have become, as you know, a big fan of mangy fetlocks. It's Bruce W. Nelson. That's his real name. He is a, I believe, a former music teacher, and he's just uber talented and prolific because each morning he seems to release two new songs. And what I love about him is they're humorous, number one, and they're short and they're to the point. And, you know, Ron Johnson is in the news, Senator Ron Johnson, who... you know, pisses me off on a number of different levels. One, because he's from Wisconsin and he took Russ Feingold's seat. Russ Feingold was one of the best progressive senators we've ever had. Really, Russ Feingold, just fucking brilliant. And to be beaten by someone as Ron Johnson, and he just gets worse and worse. Well, now, his latest is, he said, this wasn't an armed insurrection. Armed means guns. Did you see guns? Well, yeah, I did see a couple of guns, and I saw a taser, and I saw other weapons. Armed doesn't only mean guns. But he also said, I never felt scared. That's because you're a troll, and you're a Republican low-life scum. And the thing is, you were in danger because those idiots who stormed the Capitol don't know who the senators are. Yeah, maybe they'd recognize Ted Cruz and some of the other high profile morons, but you're not one of them, Ron Johnson. So mangy fetlocks, our friend Bruce W. Nelson has a little song for you, Ron Johnson. Okay, take it away, Ron, mangy fetlocks.
Howdy, folks. Mangy Fetlocks here, speaking on behalf of my fellow Wisconsinites. Wisconsin has the distinction of having probably one of the stupidest senators in the Senate, Ron Johnson. A man of remarkable and sometimes almost heart-stopping stupidity. He was interviewed recently talking about the insurrection at the Capitol. He said, hey, it just didn't look that bad. He was watching it, I think, on Fox, and he said, the rioters, they came in and they stayed between the lines, you know, on those divider things that they have in the Capitol. So, like, how bad could that be? So anyway, little song for Ron. Ron Johnson said the insurrection really wasn't bad. The Capitol attackers he saw stayed between the lines. He always tries to do that in the coloring books he's had. And long as rioters do that, they're just fine.
That was
pretty
it.
Pretty profound thinking there, Ron.
Pretty profound, yes. You know what? Why not do one more? One more, because, you know, they're fast. So take it away, mangy fetlocks. Uh-oh, why am I not hearing him? Uh-oh, we got no sound there. Oh, here we go. This is a song for Jen Psaki. He loves Jen Psaki.
Jen, I remember back when the White House press room was a den of lies and disinformation. I'm not sure that rhymes. Oh, Jen. I'm grateful time and time again. You're not like Kayleigh McEnany. She was a one while you're a ten.
Oh, oh.
I love the way you fill press briefings with facts. Attention.
and so does your hair. Oh, Jeff, I'm overjoyed when now and then you push Fox Fellows round the bend. While they seem dumb, it's not pretend. But still, you're gracious, 'cause you're Jen.
Aww.
Oh, Jen.
A falsetto there at the end. Mangy Fetlocks, everybody. Bruce W. Nelson. Oh, yeah. He's so good. All right. So, with no further ado, hit it, announcer person. Here we go.
Take a walk through the Golden Grooveyard, kicking off a silver dollar twin spin with the Drift Glass.
When this old world starts getting beat
down. Oh, no, that's the Drifters. This is Drift Glass.
Oh, sorry. Here's Drift Glass with Nicole Sandler.
Hey, Drift Glass.
Hey there.
How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. I had an elder moment getting on the...
I saw. That was good. It's good. I appreciate you even getting up and running, Earl, because I would have called the other, because I've got you in my system as Drift Glass, one word. But this, yeah. When you called, it was Drift Glass, as in first name, last name. And I realized, oh, you're on a different account. So that's where I called. So it worked out.
It worked out fine.
But I can't find you on Twitter anymore. What happened?
They made me I'm kicked off Twitter forever.
Why?
A person stepped to me on Twitter.
A what? A who? What?
A person, a
yeah.
human.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a bot. I don't know. A person, a Republican person, a conservative type person, stepped to me on Twitter and referred to me as a bat crap crazy.
Okay.
Which without the crap, of course, I don't.
You can
sure
say
swearing.
Shit, batshit oh, crazy. Bat they crazy, refer yeah. to you as batshit crazy. Okay.
And I responded by saying you're trash and your opinions are terrible and everyone you trust lies to you.
Right. Okay.
And I was immediately kicked off Twitter forever.
That got you kicked off Twitter forever. Oh my God! I've said much worse than that.
Everyone has. This is just the normal quotidian stuff. I've been in Twitter jail seven times. Six
wow.
times. For calling Bill Maher a whore, which he is.
He is.
And
yeah,
I'll take that one. Referring to Lindsey Graham using the GIMP quote from Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
And, which I diligently go back and look up these words that are so terribly offensive to people.
Yeah.
And it's like the normal vocabulary for someone like Rick Wilson every day.
Every day. You're right.
And much, 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 much worse. And so I was chucked into Twitter jail five or six times, maybe seven times, for just stuff like that. There was just and stuff that I couldn't even figure out what the problem was. And clearly, I have a group of people or bots out there who don't like me and want me gone. So
yeah.
I get reported all the time for nothing. Just last time, I'm just gone. I've appealed. This was a month ago. I've appealed three times. I've been told they'll get back to me three times, and they have never gotten back to me. So,
well, the difference is when I pull up @Mr_Electrico, which was your Twitter handle, it just says this account has been suspended and all your tweets are gone. Everything's gone. But if you go to like real Donald Trump, I think it says this account is gone.
Yes.
So they're dangling some hope as if you care. I mean, but
I don't care.
I didn't think you did.
This happened shortly after I got up in Stuart Stevens' grill for trying to elevate Michael Gerson to sainthood. And I started quoting from a really long post I wrote with the sins of Michael Gerson and what an absolute asshole he was right up until he became the patron saint of the resistance. And I said, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And 10 minutes later, I was banned for life. So,
wow. Okay, now this is weird. Because I'm going to Drift Glass. Oh, I spelled it wrong. I'm missing the L. Because I was going to say, oh, shit, your blog is now suspended, too. Not found. No. But there we are. There you are. You're still there.
I'm doing a lot of writing on my blog now that I have no Twitter life. So that's good.
So driftglass.blogspot.com is where people can still find your blog, as you've been doing for all these years. And proleftpod.com is the Professional Left podcast that you host with your wife, the lovely blue gal, Fran.
Who's never been suspended from Twitter.
She's nor have I. And I'm nasty. I can be really horrific on Twitter sometimes. When I get on a roll, you don't want to come near me, and I say some horrible things. But I admit it. I'm Nicole, and I'm a bitch on Twitter at times. Well, they've never suspended me.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
I know. Jeez. Facebook has. Facebook has, but
all
not
the
me.
Devils are here. Yeah,
I guess so. So, Drift Glass, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today is because you're so wonderfully acerbic when it comes to some of these Republicans who pretend to be good human beings and really aren't. And you call them out constantly. And we are at the weirdest time in history. So you got, anyone I can pull out. Let's talk Kevin McCarthy for a moment. On the night of January 6th, after the Capitol was overrun by these cretins who wanted to overthrow the government on behalf of Donald Trump, Kevin McCarthy spoke the truth. He's like, Trump did this. This is him. He incited this. And then the next thing you know, he's flying down to Mar-a-Lago to suck Donald's dick. What the hell? Yes.
Well, this is, you know, you're also a blogger and podcaster and broadcaster of long standing.
Yes.
So you probably remember a guy from the dim and distant past thousands of years ago named Newton Leroy Gingrich, who used to lie all the time. I don't know what happened to the guy. I guess he's living a happy life somewhere. Who knows? He might be in the Vatican. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he used to do exactly the same thing. I mean, literally, he one time I recall on, I think it was Meet the Press, talked about right-wing social engineering.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 20 minutes later, half an hour later, whatever it was, some short interval later, he said, anyone who tries to use that against me is misquoting me.
Right.
Because he would just lie about what he just said. And you and I have seen Republicans start a paragraph and then end up denying what they were saying in the first sentence by the last time.
Yeah.
And it's a product of having a Republican base who are, as I refer to them, reprogrammable meatbags. They just, you can just tell them anything. It doesn't matter what you tell them, as long as your name is Sean Hannity or your name is Donald Trump or your name is Kevin McCarthy, and you tell them what they want to hear, they instantly forget any contradicting anything. And this has been going on. This is why my friends at the Lincoln Project don't like me.
Ooh. Oh, we'll talk about the Lincoln Project in a minute, too. Hey, speaking of Newt Gingrich, look what I just dug out of the archives here. Listen to this.
This is Newt Gingrich. Frankly, I find it difficult making love to Callista without cutting my head on her hair. But frankly, when I do, I enjoy bumping nasty while listening to Nicole Sandler.
So he did that for me some years ago.
He's a good guy. He's a generous man. Really. Right. He gives and gives and gives. I wish he'd stop giving so much.
Yeah, really, please.
The defender of civilization.
Yeah. But the Republican Party is rife with people like that. But they seem to have learned a new skill. As mendacious as Newt was, and Mitt Romney took mendacity to a new level as well, they never met anything like Donald Trump, because now they've learned just deny reality.
Yeah. Well, remember the Iraq War was going great. Yeah. Until it wasn't, right? And then it was Obama's fault. You know, I have had so many dealings with people in my personal life, you know, in professional life and online, who just are that guy, who completely deny reality, who I can quote themselves back 180 degrees from what they said today, and they just look at me like, you're cheating. You're not supposed to do, not supposed to remember the past. That's just cheating. And when you get people into one party, and the dominant paradigm of that party is just lying about the past all the time because there are never going to be consequences, you're going to get Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What you've done is you've conveniently put all of the chumps in one party, and along comes a slightly better con man than the other candidates. Who knows how to? Donald Trump is good at fleecing idiots of their money and their votes. That's all he knows how to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and they're going down to Mar-a-Lago to, you know, as they say, kiss the ring. As I say, suck his mushroom dick.
And they're going to keep doing it because why not? What are the consequences of not doing that? Are they going to be impeached? No.
No.
They're going to be censured? No. They're going to be voted out of office?
No. In fact, they're going to be censured for doing the right thing and saying, hold this guy accountable for what he did. He incited this siege of the Capitol. I mean, think about that. What we witnessed on January 6th, what we saw reenacted last week, thanks to the impeachment managers and those videos they showed that were terrifying. And these people, I hesitate to call them people, but sorry excuses for human beings, are sitting there going, it's no big deal. Really? What if you had been killed? Maybe they should have let one or two or five of them get killed. Then maybe they'd be singing a different song today, but maybe not.
No, they wouldn't. No. Ted Cruz gave the game away.
Yeah.
As he always does by going on his, I guess he has a podcast now. I don't know. And, you know, because everybody has a podcast
now. Of course they do.
And went on and saying, look, here's the deal. I went back and told those incompetent hack strip mall mob lawyers that Trump hired, don't worry. You know, the fix is in. You're not going to lose. You can't lose. There's no way you can lose. So just, you know, just do whatever you want. And that was true. This was the Al Capone jury. Before it gets switched at the end of the Untouchables. Mm-hmm. They're all bought off. They're all, you know, in the boat. And they all know that if they voted against him. So you get someone like Mitch McConnell who lets them off and then turns around and says, this is the worst offense against American democracy. And I certainly wish someone would have done something about it.
But I voted to acquit because he's out of office. So, you know, he can't be constitutionally tried, even though they settled that question on Tuesday, the first day of the trial. And the only reason the trial was held after he was already out of office is because Mitch McConnell wouldn't let them hold it while he was still in office.
Yes, and that is now just, I think I'm misquoting Stephen King here from a couple of years ago. It's like you spent years planting dragon's teeth and you finally grew a dragon.
Yeah, right.
You've been prepping the ground for this for decades. For decades, you have been pandering to the worst scumbags in this country. You've been telling racists and lunatics that their paranoia is patriotism for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what did you think was going to happen? Well, they all thought they would be out of the way before it got bad, or that someone like Jeb or Marco would be driving the train. Because that's the point. The point is to get a party dumb enough and malleable enough to vote for Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio.
Right.
And then
please
control him and it's all going to work out great. And no, you got someone who's just like the Republican base. Loud, arrogant, and a liar and a racist and is proud of it.
Yeah. You need to put liar in there at every other word, though, because they have taken lying to a whole new level of art.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this is the case of, you know, you keep letting the puppy get away with everything and then it grows up into a dog and it bites you and you wonder why.
Right.
You know, the day that they decided to go after Bill Clinton and hunt him like an animal and then take the first guy who was given the job of investigating impeachment and say, who said there's nothing here? Said, well, screw that. Let's find another guy. Let's find Ken Starr. The minute they got away with that, the minute they got away with not giving a shit about the deficits until Bill Clinton came into office and suddenly, oh, you got to solve the deficits. And they never gave him a single goddamn vote for anything. And never paid a price for it.
Right.
That was game over.
Right.
The Republicans learned, we can do anything? And all you got to do is punish Democrats for it?
Yeah.
Really? That's amazing. Let's just keep going lower and lower. So if you look at the course of the GOP over decades, you cannot be surprised where it ended, which is why it's vitally important on my local liberal TV station, MSNBC, and every other cable news station where it's a never-Trumper, by law, there all the time.
Yes.
That the conversation never stray past 2016. It's very important that we not talk about what we were doing, what those people were doing prior to Donald Trump being elected.
Right.
Because what they were doing was laying the groundwork for Donald Trump
to be elected. You're so right. And you know, I mean, there's so many different ways we can go here. You bring up MSNBC. It's like, oh, God, it is the home for never Trumpers. You brought up the Lincoln Project, who is disintegrating as we speak because of their own issues in-house. Yep. And I hate to say, you know, you brought up Marr, who I just is unwatchable anymore. But we did watch him this week, and it was an interesting show with Marcos Melitzas on one side and Steve Schmidt on the other side. And Steve Schmidt's like a full-blown Democrat now. So they fuck up their party, right? They allow Donald Trump to take over. And don't forget, Steve Schmidt is the man responsible because he ran John McCain's campaign. He's the man responsible for giving us Sarah Palin. Hello, thank you very much. Now he's found progressivism and he's a Democrat and he writes off the Republicans. So you fuck up your party, you turn it over to Donald Trump and Sarah Palin, and then you come here and you say, I'm a Democrat now, I'm going to fix your mess? What?
Well, and this is what has gotten me in trouble with a lot of my liberal allies for the last 5 years, which has been, and I mean people who are blue checks, people who have their own bylines, people who have orders of magnitude greater media exposure than I do, and got very, very mad at me and lectured me offline and lectured me sort of on the side that you can't attack these people. They're on our side.
No, they're not. Now. Oh,
like,
my God.
No, they're really not. And just told me to shut the fuck up and sit down. And I said, I've written over and over again on my blog, this is who Rick Wilson has always been. This is who Tom Nichols has always been. And these bullshit excuses they're giving. Michael Steele would have you believe, I swear to God, he says this on television on a regular basis, on my liberal TV station, that he personally drove all the bigots out of the Republican Party.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. Like St. Patrick in Ireland. He drove the snakes out. And they all miraculously showed up once he was gone.
Yeah.
But while he was there, there was no problem with racism in the GOP.
Yeah.
And he stood up to the powers that be. And I just go, well, here's an article where Rush Limbaugh got mad at you and you went groveling to him to beg his forgiveness. That is not a story that anyone who hires these people wants to tell. And it's not a story that my allies wanted to hear.
No.
And I explained to them, I tried to be patient. If you take how much a minute of MSNBC time is sold for advertising wise, it's like 22 grand or 26 grand or something.
Okay.
Multiply that by the amount of time that they have given to Charlie Sykes and Rick Wilson and blah, blah, blah.
On over and the on last and on and on and on.
It comes to literally hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So when you start bitching that Democrats don't know how to put up a fight and Democrats don't know how to message, imagine if you'd given hundreds of millions of dollars of free exposure to people like Nicole Sandler,
and
people like Digby, people like Athena, and people and people like me. I'll take a slice of that.
And Driftglass, absolutely.
But saying the things that they are saying now about Donald Trump was what got us turned into exiles and pariahs when we were saying it about the GOP 6 years ago.
Huh. Yeah.
So you could say on television the Republican Party is a cancer on this country, that you'd be drummed out of the core. You're only allowed to say that if you're a former Republican, and you're only allowed to say that as long as you're specified. It was these past few years, 2016, just 2016. And if you try to introduce the fact that your party and you, Charlie Sykes, as the Rush Limbaugh of Wisconsin, No, we're not having that conversation. And I will bring in your own allies to scold you for daring to do that.
Right.
Well, now guess what? The Lincoln Project is melting down in real time.
Oh, yeah.
Post now that is subheaded, continuously updated hourly, because every hour on the hour, it's Kellyanne Conway and George Conway are now saying this should all be disbanded. This should all be shut.
And I'm sorry, but then they exploit their troubled teenage daughter on American Idol. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Claudia Conway has been melting down on social media for a couple of years now, since she was like 14. The latest I heard was she accused her mother of putting out on social media a topless picture of her 16-year-old daughter. And now they show up as a happy family on American Idol. We are living in some weird other world reality. or non-reality.
Well, when you start thinking like a Republican, it all makes sense. Because it's doublethink. It's just you just automatically unremember anything inconvenient about the present moment. So past memories of Kellyanne Conway and George Conway past, memories of Tom Nichols, who was chastising people just yesterday for the liberal commissars having this purity test for your party. And I'm like, dude, maybe if you'd had a purity test for your party and you'd kept the bigots and imbeciles out and you'd listened to liberals who were telling you that your party was heading this direction, maybe you wouldn't have to come to my fucking party and try to take it over. And of course, that gets you blocked on social media.
I got my ass handed to me a couple of years ago when this whole phenomenon of the Never Trumpers coming over they've taken over MSNBC. They're everywhere. And I basically said on Twitter, now it didn't get me thrown off Twitter, but it got me again, the liberal blue check cotillion. It's like, because I said, clean up your own house, stay out of mine. Right. How dare you? They're coming over here because they're with us. It's like, no, they're not. And how stupid can you fucking be?
Yeah. And having gone down this road before with other phenomena, like, this both sides lie will come up to kill us all. I was writing about that 16 years ago. Uh-huh. This Glenn Greenwald fella, he seems pretty nice, but I think he's got problems in, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Drone glass, jackbooted, ass licking, a fascist, I guess I'm in the wrong here.
Yeah,
I
mean, he's
a great guy, but mark my words. And then who's the number one guest on Laura Ingraham's show at Tucker Carlson?
Glenn Greenwald.
It's Glenn Greenwald.
I
just want to reach out to all these people, very much like Ray Bradbury did.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 50s, he was writing about moonshots and letting all the very sophisticated people in New York went to cocktail parties with, were saying, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. And he said, can I have your phone number? And then once man landed on the moon, his list started calling him and saying, hi, this is Ray Bradbury. Fuck you. And I just kind of want to go down the list of all the people who told me I didn't know what I was talking about and I was a bad liberal for questioning the unerring genius of someone who clearly had a different agenda.
Yeah.
And like, I appreciate the story. I appreciate that you broke, but you've got some really fucked up ideas and you're being given the largest platform in the world and you bitch that nobody will listen to you. Like, okay, fine. And I'm sitting here doing exactly the same thing with Lincoln Project. I told you these people are in trouble. I told you it's trouble. You put a bunch of malignant Republican thugs in a barrel and give them $100 million. And of course they're going to tell you that they're your friend.
Yeah.
That's what all con men do. Haven't you seen any movies? Didn't you ever see The Sting? I mean, House of Games, anything? Does this ring a bell at all? And again, the blue check, liberal mafia told me to shut up and sit down.
Yeah.
And now they're real quiet about the Lincoln Project.
Oh, yeah. As they they shouldn't be. It's what we knew was going to happen. And, so there's the Lincoln Project, and then there's like the Midas Touch guys. Well, yeah. I always gravitated toward the Midas Touch guys because they're us. Yeah. Lincoln Project are not. Right?
Well, the other thing is, and I'll leave it at this, there is this mythology out there that the Lincoln Project saved democracy. I'm like, guys, I just want to work at a job somewhere in my entire life where I'm graded on this kind of curve where these guys didn't exist before a year and a half. And they had 5-6 real clear metrics for how to measure success. They're going to take down these 5 senators and drive Republican turnout down. Republican turnout went up by 10 million votes.
Yeah, right.
Everybody you campaigned against that you said was a low-hanging fruit
won
by more votes than they won last time. So where's your political genius? And
right.
The answer to that is,
Yeah. We were too busy standing back while our founder solicited young men on the internet. Hello. And that's what the controversy is all about right now, because one of the founders of the Lincoln Project is a perv. And that's what this is. And they didn't know. And now they're saying, well, Steve Schmidt maybe knew. And Steve Schmidt has resigned. And Kellyanne Conway and her husband are saying, break it up. Yeah. So much success. We just can't handle it. It's winning, Donald's dump truck.
It's all the winning.
Hey, Drift Glass, our time goes by so quickly. You got to come back on again soon, and that's on me. I will invite you back on again soon.
Well, thank you so much. I love being on your
show. Thank you. It's always great to talk to you. One of the original gangsta bloggers. Thank you, Drift Glass. Find him at driftglass.blogspot.com and, of course, the Professional Left Podcast at proleftpod.com. All right, that does it for us for today. Tomorrow, Jennifer Taub, author of Big Dirty Money, will be with us. She live tweeted the entire impeachment. She's got to be kind of depressed right now, too. So we'll take care of each other tomorrow. And you. See you then. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.